Somebody's down to their last dime. Somebody's running out of time.
Not too far from here.
Somebody's got nowhere else to go. Somebody needs a little hope.
Not too far from here.
And I may not know their name, but I'm praying just the same that you'll lose me, Lord, to wipe away a tear. 'Cause somebody's crying
not too far from here.
Somebody's troubled and confused. Somebody's got nothing left to lose.
Not too far from here.
Somebody's forgotten how to trust. Somebody's dying for love.
Not too far from here.
It may be a stranger's face, but I'm praying for your grace. My heart, help me speak your love to every needful ear. 'Cause somebody's waiting
not too far from here.
Somebody's waiting
not too far.
Thank you, ladies. It's good for me to be reminded of the truth of that song. We have a tendency to be selfish, think about big I, you know. Good reminded that there's people that need help. And God's given us His truth, and God's given us His word. An ability to lead them to the person that can help them. His name is Jesus. I'm so glad that someone led me to him. Jude 22, as your Bible's been open there and you've heard in the reading, thank you, Brother Shane, for reading the scripture. And as we're thinking of today being emphasis on buses, on bus workers and bus Sunday, I just think that really, anyone who ministers in the church, a lot of people use this verse as a motto, as a theme. Some having compassion, making a difference. And if you're in the ministry, and that's not a goal, to make a difference in people's lives. To the Bible tells us that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You're different. So as a worker, as a Christian, to help people, to make a difference in their life, it's just that simple of introducing them to Jesus Christ. He'll make the difference. But it was you that led them there. It was you that made that difference. But if that's not a goal in your life, then I'm not sure why you're in the ministry. Sunday school teachers, pastors, bus workers, that should be a goal. That should be something that this verse would just would describe your life. You're making a difference in others. And I've heard many messages preached on Jude 22, and I think it's good. I think it's good for us to focus on that and realize and kind of take inventory of our own lives and what we're doing for God. And are we making a difference in people's life? If you look at your life and you can name some people and say, you know what, I have made a difference in their life. I made a difference in this one's life. I made a difference in this one's life. I made a difference in this one's life. And maybe you can even look around this room and see people that you made a difference in their life. But if you look and you start thinking, have I made a difference in someone's life? And you can't think of one person, then you might want to rethink the purpose of your life. Rethink of what you're doing with your life. What are you doing for God if you're not making a difference in other people's life? Well, that's one thing that I think with bus workers, they are making a difference. Bus workers are going out. They're busy Saturday, which was already mentioned. They're making a difference in people's lives. They're trying to get them to church where they can be introduced to Jesus. They're going out soul winning and taking their Bible and introducing people to Jesus. But I want us to focus from verse 22 to verse 23, because I think it goes a little farther. And others, saved with fear, pulling them out of fire. That's what we mentioned about the soul winning. And that's where I want to kind of bring our message today. And I know I'm getting a later start than normal. We had an unusual service, and I'm going to keep our time in mind. I don't want to let anyone out of here late this evening. That I don't want to cause you to be watching your watch and saying, oh, I'm normally out of here by now. So just keep your attention on me. I'll be mindful of the time, but I also want to be mindful of God and the message that God's given me today. But Jude chapter 23 says, and others, saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. When I read that phrase right there, one word can come to mind, and that's rescue. Rescue. Talking about pulling them out of the fire. When you think of that, when you think of someone that is in the fire, they need rescue, right? They need help. And so when I'm thinking of this in particular, I think of a fireman. Because that's their job, right? Rescue people from the fire. That's their main thing. We have other type of rescue workers, rescue people that would rescue people from car accidents or just being sickness. Different things, but rescuing people from the fire, that's the job of a fireman, correct? Right, children? You guys are involved with me. You're paying attention, right? What does a fireman do? He rescues people from the fire, right? That's his job. Now, that doesn't mean that he won't rescue people from other things, but that's what he's trained for. That's his job. He's got protection, and he's got things that help him against that enemy of the fire. And so that's what a fireman does, and I think of how this can compare to a Christian. How a fireman and a Christian's jobs are pretty similar. A fireman, he rescues people from the fire. But a Christian, God calls upon us to help rescue people from hell. Now, we can't save anybody, but we can lead them to the person that can. We can lead them to the person that can. So God uses us to rescue people from the flames of hell. Now, the Bible talks a lot about this place called hell. It's not a fairy tale. It's not something that people make up, like the boogeyman to try to get the kids to go to sleep. You better go to sleep or the boogeyman's going to get you. That's not what hell is. Hell isn't something that a pastor or a preacher or someone says makes up and says, you better be good or you're going to hell, because we all know, well, hopefully you know. If not, I'll tell you what the truth is, that it's not bad people go to hell and good people go to heaven. That's not the truth. It's saved people go to heaven. And unsaved people go to hell, because the Bible says there is none good. Amen. All of us fall in that category of bad. So if we're going to tell people that bad people go to hell, then we're saying we're all going to hell. Now, the truth is all of us were destined for hell. But some of us have been rescued. Amen. Some of us have been rescued because someone helped us find the one that can rescue us from that place called hell, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so the Bible has a lot to say about this place of hell, because it's real. I'm going to read you some verses here about this place called hell. In Psalms 9, verse 17, the Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. This is a real place. It's a real place that people are going. It's a real place that someone maybe sitting in this room right now, you're on your way there. But good news, you can be rescued. Amen. You can be rescued, and we'll talk about that. Proverbs 27, verse 20 says, hell and destruction are never full. Hell and destruction are never full. And Isaiah verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 14 kind of explains that, because the Bible says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. This is a real place. And I remember as a young child hearing someone speaking on this, and they were talking about this particular verse there, and they were talking about if you study the Bible, and you know what the Bible talks about hell, when it talks about hell from beneath thee, the Bible speaks of that we know that hell is under our feet right now. There's a place called hell in the center of the earth, and it's a place of fire, it's a place of torment, that they talk about. They were talking about volcanoes and explode, how volcanoes will explode and erupt and push that molten lava out. And they said that when they read this verse of hell hath enlarged itself, that was one of the things that they would think about when volcanoes would explode, that it was making room. Now, I don't know if that was exactly what it's talking about, but the Bible tells us that there is this place called hell, and it's as large as self. Open her mouth without measure, that hell's never full. Hell's never full. As you remember that all of us were destined there. Now, hell wasn't made for us. God didn't make hell for us. God loved us. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But because Satan was a deceiver and a trickster, he brought sin, where he calls and deceived Eve, and sin was brought into the world, and therefore we are conceived in sin. Every single one of us are born a sinner. And because God is just, every single one of us are destined for that same place of hell. God is just. Matthew chapter 5 talks about this place. He says, this place is so bad, he says, if thy eye offend thee, in verse 29 of Matthew chapter 5, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. He's saying it would be better for you if your eye was to cause you to not trust God, to not get saved, and then it'd be better for you to go through life blind. Pluck your eye out. Man. It'd be better for that than for you to die and go to hell. And if thy right hand, in verse 30, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 says, and fear not them which kill the body. Now, there's a lot of fear and a lot of movies and a lot of things that try to bring fear about someone who could do you physical harm. We do it to ourselves, those that go watch scary movies and things like that. You try to scare yourself and get a thrill out of that fear of something that could do you physical harm. And God's saying, you know what? More than someone that could kill the body and do you physical harm, he says, but fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. This is a real place. God, again, talks much about this place called hell. Let me go through these verses. And whatsoever, Mark chapter 9, verse 42, Mark chapter 9, I'm going to read 42 down through verse 48. And whatsoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend, he cut it off, for it is better to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and their fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet and be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, for it is better for thee to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and their fire is not quenched. You see, the Bible has a lot to say about this place called hell. It's real and it's awful, but it's not for us. But yet, we're destined for there because of this word called sin. This word called sin. Luke chapter 16, verse 22 tells them an account of a man that went there. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. This is a place of torment. It's a place of fire. The Bible says where the fire is not quenched. Over and over, you saw that phrase about hell. And this is God's warning. God does not want anyone to go to hell. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He wants every one of us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants every one of us that was ever born to be able to trust his Son and have forgiveness of their sins so they don't have to go to this awful place. That's why he says so much about it. So people would be warned and people would see their need to have their sins forgiven, to have a need of a Savior. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, For God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Revelation chapter 20, he said, and starting in verse 11, And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to the works. And verse 14 says, And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And verse 15, And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I read you those verses to kind of bring a little more light on verse 23. And others, saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. It's a job for us. It's work. You know, a fireman just doesn't just show up and say, okay, come on. He's got to do work to save people. He's got to do work to rescue people. He's got to go in to the fire, to the burning building or whatever, to be able to rescue people. He's got to put his life on the line in many cases. He's got work to do. But it's worth it because he can rescue people. He can help save people's lives. He can pull someone out of the fire. Not for the accolades and the thanks and the acclaim, just the simple fact of there's people that need help. And I'm able to help them. And they devote their lives to that. So that's why I think that comparison of a Christian to a fireman. So we'll kind of look at a fireman for just a minute. A fire department. You know, a fire department, they have different jobs inside the fire department. The fire department, you say a fireman, but it's not, and not everyone does the same thing. Just like in a church, not everyone does the same thing, right? There's different jobs, there's different talents, there's different things. Well, in a fire department, not everyone is the same. Right, you start off with a fire department. You have a chief. You have a chief. So I want to have a couple people help me with this illustration. I'm looking around and I see Dan, Big Dan. Come here for a second, Big Dan here. You think we're going to pick a chief here? Are we going to pick one of the biggest guys here? Because if he wanted to be chief, he'd just tell, "Hey, I'm the chief." It's okay. Man, he's bigger than me. Dan here is our chief. He'll be the chief of the fire department here for this illustration. Now, every fire department has a chief, right? You have to have someone that's in charge, someone that directs and gives out jobs, gives other people orders. But the chief can't do it all alone. Brother David Brooks said it. He's the bus director, but he can't run the bus minister alone. He has to have captains. He has to have drivers. He has to have all those other things. Well, the fire department, they have to have the drivers too, correct? Someone's got to drive the truck. Well, no, it's not normally the chief that gets into every truck because they have several trucks. So the chief's got to recruit some drivers. So, Matthew, can you drive? Not legally. Come on now, Matthew. Matthew's going to be our driver here. So he's going to be the one to drive the truck. When there's a fire going on, Matthew, get in the truck. We want to load the material up and all those things. Now, one of the things that Matthew can't do his job if we don't have the mechanic that keeps the trucks running, right? Now, these are all people that work in the fire department. These are people that work there. That they got a guy that he's a fireman, but he makes sure the trucks stay running, correct? So we got our chief. We got our driver. Wyatt, are you a mechanic? You are today. Come on down, Wyatt. I appreciate these young people willing to help me with this illustration. Wyatt, you got to get the trucks running, right? If the driver goes to start the truck and it's not going nowhere, what good are you going to do? So you got to keep those trucks running. You got to check the oil. You got to make sure the tire pressure's good. There's a lot that's got to go on. You got a big job to do, right? There's a lot going on with that. If the truck's not running, you can't do your job. If the chief's not there to show up to direct people, to lead people, if the driver's not there to drive, things aren't going to work right if people don't do their job, right? So you got your mechanics, you got your drivers, you got your chief. Well, someone's got to answer the phones to take the calls. Let's get a good talker over. Timmy. Timmy's our dispatch. Timmy's our dispatch. He's a good conversationalist. He'll be willing to answer the phones. So you got to take the calls. You got to take the calls to find the people that need the help, and you got to tell the chief. You got to give the instructions to the driver where to go. So that's an important job, Timmy. All of these are important jobs. Everyone's got to do their job, right? Well, these are things that have to be done for a fire department to work successfully, right? If they don't have these jobs, they don't have these guys, you don't have the chief, you don't have the driver, you don't have the mechanic, you don't have the dispatch. And also with all those, you have your regular workers. Those that go to follow the orders, that get the job done, that'll follow the chief. And the same thing with any ministry or church, you have all these different areas where we have leaders, but you also have the followers. The leaders couldn't do their job, but they didn't have the followers. Branson, you be a good worker? Your daddy said you better be a good worker. Come on down, Branson. He's going to be our worker. So we'll use these five here, just to be an example. All five of these have to do their job, right? They all have to do their job to be able to successfully and effectively rescue people, right? You guys got your jobs down. You know what you're supposed to do, right? Y'all, do I need to remind you? Everyone knows what your job is. Let's go right down the line, starting right here with Brother Matthew, and I'll just go down the line. You tell me what your job is.
Driver's truck. Big chief.
Mechanic.
What is it?
Mechanic. Cell phone worker. Worker.
Worker. All five of them are wrong. You know what their job is? Rescuing people from the fire. I tricked them. Their job is rescuing people from the fire. Now, all of us have to have our jobs and things that we do. But so often, and I compare, thank you guys, I did it on purpose. I tricked you guys on purpose. Thank you, I'll go to your seats. All of us here in the church and in ministries, you have your jobs that you do. But sometimes we get more focused on the titles than what our real job is. And that's rescuing people. It's rescuing people. And we think, I want to be the chief. I want to be the driver. I'm a better mechanic than this guy. And we get more focused on titles and positions instead of the purpose and instead of the calling that God has given us. You know, people get more focused on making a living than living your life. And so, in the church, we face that. And I see this as being a big problem. People think, well, I do this, and I do that, and I do this, and I do that. But who have you rescued? Whose life have you changed? If you got a title in this church, you have a title, you have a position. But you can't say, I've made a difference in someone's life. If you can't say, I've rescued someone or helped rescue this person from the flames of hell, then what are you focusing on? Have you forgot what your job is? Have you forgot what your true calling is? Have you forgot what God wants you really to do? Being a Sunday school teacher is good. I thank God for the Sunday school teachers we have here. But as a Sunday school teacher, are you more focused on having your students hear you than impacting their life, changing their life, and making a difference in their life? And that's a problem that our world's facing today. Too many people are more concerned about being heard with Twitter, with Facebook, with all these things. People used to keep things to themselves, write it in their journal. They had things to say, but they would write it down and keep it to themselves. Nowadays, people want it to spread out, want everyone to hear and get mad if you don't read what they got to say on Facebook, or don't respond, or don't give it a thumbs up. You must not like me. You didn't give a thumbs up to what I posted. They got too much to say. They want to be heard. Well, how about making a difference? How about using your life to make a difference? I read a quote: the greatest use of your life is to use your life so that the use of your life outlives your life. When you're long gone, the life you live made such an impact that it's still affecting others, because you used your life in that way, that's to give it to others. To give it to others instead of me, me, me. As a church, as we compared it to the fire department, what's your title? What do you do? I'm a Sunday school teacher. I sing in the church, and we got some very talented singers. Are you rescuing people? I'm a Sunday school teacher. Are you rescuing people? I ride a bus. I'm a bus worker. Are you rescuing people? Are you saving people from the fire? And others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Does it affect you? As a lady sang that song earlier, does that affect you? There's people that need help. There's people that are hurting. There's people that don't know the answer, and you got it. Are you taking it to them? Are you sharing it? Are you able to share it at work and share it with those at work that you know are lost on their way to hell? You work with them every day. Have you been able to hand them a gospel tract? Or on your break, be able to share the truth that Jesus died for them, so they don't have to go to this place of hell? They don't have to. You've been rescued, and so can they. You don't have to go to hell. If someone's in this room today and you say, you know what? I'm not saved. I don't know what you're talking about being rescued. I heard you read those verses of hell, and it's an awful place. I don't know. I don't want to go there. You don't have to. God sent his son to die for you, to be able to forgive you of your sins, that your sins can be paid for. He doesn't just forget about it. They've been paid for. Jesus paid the price. But you have to accept him. You have to trust him as your only way to heaven. And your sins can be forgiven. And you think of a fireman, and I'm about to wrap it up. Firemen do a lot of things. A lot of people put rescuing cats from trees on a fireman's job. Well, you call the fireman, cat Fluffy's up in the tree. Call the fire department, they'll get them down. Now, firemen can rescue every cat in the neighborhood from a tree, but if they refuse to take the call for a fire, are they a fireman? Are they a true fireman? Well, I come out every time someone calls me to get Fluffy out the tree. I've got Fluffy out the tree 25 times. It keeps going up there. But when someone calls and said, my house is on fire, help. Well, I'm busy. I got to put air in the tires of the truck. I got to whatever. Whatever your job is. You think, I got to do this, I got to do that. But when you're able to, you refuse to take the call. Well, I wouldn't call that a fire department. They never go out, never rescue anyone from the fire, but they do all these other things. Well, they take their trucks out to schools and they demonstrate to the children. But if they refuse, not if they don't get the call, but they refuse to take the call to rescue people. Well, we've been given the call. It's not on the phone, it's from God. God's then told us, before Jesus left, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's called us to go out and to rescue people. And if we refuse to take that call, then are we really a church? Can you say that we're a church? Well, we got good Sunday school teachers. We got good singers. Does that make a good church? We run a bus ministry. Does that make a good church? Now, the bus ministry is doing that. Hopefully, they're focused, and we know our bus workers do that. They focus on going out and bringing them in to pull people out of the fire. We got social events. We got dinners. We got men's retreats. All these are good things. But if you can't say, my main focus, my main goal in life is to serve my God, to be faithful, to follow his call, and his call to everyone is to go. Go. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. People need to hear. People need rescue. Let's go. Let's keep our focus where it needs to be. It's not on a title. It's that people are lost on their way to hell. And I invite you today, if you're lost, in just a moment, we're going to give an invitation. If you're lost and you're saying, you know what, I'm not saved, I'm not on my way to heaven, you can get that taken care of this morning. We'll have a worker. We'll have a man if you're a man, a lady if you're a lady, that will take you in one of these private rooms. We don't want to embarrass you. We don't want to call you out. There'll be a time where we'll be having our heads bowed, our eyes closed. You can come forward and we'll have someone take a Bible and show you how you can meet this man named Jesus who loves you, who's paid the price, and he'll rescue you from this place called hell. As to my church family, I want to say, let's keep the focus where it needs to be. It's a lost and dying world. We got the flags up for the missionaries that we're helping them, but we need to do our part. It's not just about sending the money. It's about going, too, where we can. We might not be able to go to China, but can you go across the street? I think, for most part, not everyone, the answer is yes, we can. But will you? Will you go? Let's all stand. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.